couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies, and we're back from our
Happy
break.
Happy New Year!
Happy 2009.
That's right. We had a week off because, well, I was originally going to go on a vacation, but then my kid got strep throat.
Right.
And we canceled it because I didn't want to be like driving through Arkansas and suddenly come down with strep throat.
Yeah, and I think through the transitive property of the virtual studio in the sky, I have now contracted whatever disease your child had.
Well, strep throat. Go get some antibiotics.
Yeah, well, and hopefully I can get rid of it because next week I'll be at Sundance in Park
That's
City.
That's right.
So,
Making out with hot celebrities. So
and giving them all strep throat.
So. Exactly. You know, people like John Stamos.
I hope John Stamos is there.
Genuinely, and I hope you can make out with him. That would be awesome.
I'm very excited. So we'll have that. You know, we'll talk about that later, I guess.
Yes.
But before we get into all this other stuff, we got some movies. I guess some movies came out this week. I didn't really notice.
Well, no, I want to ask you, how was your Christmas? How was your New Year? Did you make your mom do a turkey dinner?
I didn't make her do anything, but we had some good food.
And,
That's what I love about my family is that we eat a lot and we eat well. And
that's
It's terrible for someone who's trying to eat low carb.
Holidays,
good.
Way too much sugar
right
in the holidays.
So I just kind of chucked that and drank a lot, and that was fun.
You know, I saw you earlier this week at the Bride Wars screening, and I have to say, I believe you.
That I'm not doing my diet.
Yeah, if I believe you that you're you still want to retain the Fat Guys at the Movies name.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll get rid of it at some point.
That's right.
Yeah. So how was your holidays, Kevin?
It was good. It was busy. Yeah, lots of stuff going on. You know, what killed me was just so many screenings. I mean, they dropped like a Gran Torino screening like 2 days before Christmas.
Nice.
And then I had this big stack of DVDs to watch, award DVDs, and we had to do voting for the Central Ohio Film Critics Society, and I had to vote for Online Film Critics Society, and so you're trying to watch all these DVDs. And you know what just sapped me was Shay. I got a... this movie's 4.5 hours long.
Six-disc screener.
Oh my God. And you know what's funny is the movie, it like the opening of each part, because it's in two parts. One of them is when he's in Cuba and the other one's when he's in Bolivia.
Yeah.
And the first part is literally the first 5 minutes is just a map of Cuba with the different territories, you know, like lighting up.
Right. Like kind of explaining to you what Cuba is?
No, not really. In the sense that it's saying, well, this is where Havana is. And this is where Guantanamo Bay. I mean, that's really what it is. And it's. And then, of course, it's like they're. It's the most boring movie about guerrilla fighting ever.
I see.
It would be like if Michael Bay made like Transformers 2, and what happened was suddenly and there was no action scenes in it. It was just Optimus Prime and another robot like talking about their beliefs in the woods.
I see.
Four and a half hours of that.
All right, well.
So, that's my preliminary review of Shay for everybody, in case you wanted to know. And then, of course, like every time they have it, it's literally the revolutionaries are like, oh, no, well, we don't do violence and we don't hurt anybody. We just come in here and we give medicines to villagers. And I'm like, well, you know, there was a little bit of fighting because it is guerrilla warfare.
Yeah.
You know, and the communist uprising in Cuba was kind of known for killing some people,
right?
You know, so. But Shay was just kind of like, "No, I don't believe in killing people." Then why do you have a gun strapped to your back, you idiot? So
awesome. Well, now that you've heard about Shay, let's tell you where you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies, and we come right up. You can email us fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And I will say I've been challenged by David Chen over at the Slash Filmcast, who is probably one of our four readers, or four listeners, whatever.
Yeah, David, he stalked me at Comic-Con.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a nice guy. He also
he's a great guy.
He mentioned to me this week that we should update our iTunes logo because it's very plain. It just says Fat Guys the Movies, hosted by us.
Does it have a picture of me?
No, it doesn't. So I really feel like I'm going to have to do that here in the near future. I'm going to have to make that
That's
change.
That's right. I'll take a picture of my belly and send it to you. Well, you know what I realized? Here's an interesting story. This is about Film School Rejects, actually.
Yeah.
There's an adult film star, Katie Morgan.
Oh, who, awesome story.
Yeah, and we've covered her a bit because she was in Zach and Mary Make a Porno, so she kind of did a mainstream movie.
We've covered her.
Well, she's been covered before. Yeah. Robert Fury, who's one of the writers, a huge fan of Katie Morgan, got his picture with her at Comic-Con. And so we've written about her and about Zach and Miri. And he stumbled across her website. Apparently, he was just doing research, so he says.
Right, on her website.
Yeah, and he gets to the news page, and it links to Film School Rejects. And she's like, hey, I love these guys. They're awesome.
Right.
They're not afraid to say what they mean. And she links to the news page for her, so it has all her tagged stories. And like the first one is an article I wrote.
Right.
That had a misspelling in it that I had to change.
Nice.
But like two or three items down is the fat guys at the movies when we review Zach and Miri.
Right.
And what's so great about that is it's a picture of me naked. So Katie Morgan has seen my naked picture on the internet.
And she, wow. See, that's very meta, I believe. You're really taking this to a whole new level.
I know. It's awesome. She's going to like recognize. I've seen you naked on the internet.
Body.
I'll be like, I've seen you naked on the internet.
We've seen each other naked. This is great. We should just, never mind. Anyways, let's move on to our first movie of the week, right? Well, we have like three or four to talk about, but the first one is The Unborn, which is another lady who we'd like to see naked. Odette Yussman from Cloverfield, in her panties, scared of a demon child.
One iris is a different color than the other, which happens occasionally when you're dealing with twins.
I'm an only child.
Hey, all right?
Am I a twin, Dad?
He died while the two of you were still in utero.
Your mother never told you, but I knew. By living, you denied it entry into our world.
Now, this one is a January release. It's the first official release of January. And big surprise, they didn't screen it for us.
Which is really sad because it was written and directed by David Goyer, who wrote The Dark Knight, who's, you know, a really good writer. It's got Gary Oldman
so well.
In it. It's got a hot chick in her underwear in it.
He did The Invisible a couple years ago. His directed movies aren't nearly as good as his written movies.
Right, but I mean, it stands to reason that it could be good. It's
possible. It looks interesting. I mean, for a horror movie, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, but they definitely didn't screen it here in the flyover states.
Yeah, and as I hear, it did get screened in a couple places, like the coastal places, but it was still like screened late Thursday night.
Right.
So, yeah, and they didn't. There's no midnight show.
Oh, man.
So I won't be able to see it. I wasn't able to see it at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they usually only, I was told by a manager of the theater that unless the movie they think is going to make like 20 or 30 million its opening weekend, they don't do a midnight show. So
Look
for lowball numbers on this one.
Right. Which surprises me that they're not doing midnight screenings of The Bride Wars. So
yeah,
that movie's going to make bank.
Absolutely. So, but anyways, The Unborn, preemptive suck.
Okay. Preemptive suck. Yeah, I'm
you have
with
to
you.
Do it too. Yeah,
and it's totally preemptive suck. And when we come back, we're gonna find some other movies that may or may not suck. And we're back, and we're rolling through some more movies, I suppose.
I
just figure we might as well.
Yeah, or we can talk about movies no one's seen yet, like Shay.
Let's not talk anymore about Shay, because I think you've really kind of beat that thing to a pulp.
Yeah, okay.
But let's talk about Bride Wars, which stars one of my future ex-wives, Anne Hathaway, as well as Kate Hudson, and they play brides fighting over the same
I thought you were going to say Candace Bergen.
Not funny.
Your wedding dates have been booked on the same day. Which one of you wants to choose another venue?
What? One of us will just have to get married on a different day.
One of us will have to be flexible.
Well, one of us can look at different venues.
Yeah, one of us could.
It's crazy. They haven't spoken for like a week. It's like a century in girls' ears.
You send out your save the dates?
Surprised?
Your wedding better watch it.
If I were your wedding, I'd be sleeping with one eye open.
You're right. Your wedding will be huge, just like your ass at prom. Your wedding can suck it.
But anyways, so there you have it. Bride Wars. I'll start, I guess, with
sure.
this one.
Knock yourself out.
You know what? Here's my number one takeaway from Bride Wars is that everyone in this movie seems to be pretty funny, except for Kate Hudson. There's nothing funny about Kate Hudson.
This is where you're going to rail on Kate Hudson, because even though she's a future ex-wife of yours.
No, Anne Hathaway is ex-wife. Kate Hudson and I might have a fling sometime, but for the most part, Kate Hudson and I are, you know, incompatible. One, because she seems to just not be funny at all. Not funny in this movie.
Okay, so you want people to laugh at you in the bedroom is what it is. Or you want to laugh at the women in the bedroom.
I like to have a little humor in the bedroom.
That's why you don't get much action, I think.
Okay, whatever.
You're like, come, let's have sex, and I'll laugh at you.
The point is that, you know, this the whole movie really kind of sits on the shoulders of its two stars. And for the most part, Anne Hathaway is hysterical, and Kate Hudson is just annoying. Therefore, we never really buy into the two characters. And and on top of all that, there is a, an element of conflict late in the movie that is literally pulled out of an orifice on a screenwriter that I dare not talk about.
Wow.
It just comes out of nowhere, and it's stupid, and it's contrived, and it's forced, and... You know, even for what this movie is, it's not that good.
I would say the whole movie is kind of contrived and forced.
Yeah, it's yeah.
But, and I say this with a big but, just like Anne Hathaway.
Wow.
Ooh. Well, you know, hey, she's shapely, unlike Kate Hudson, who's really kind of slender and tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this about Anne Hathaway: she's a beautiful woman, but she needs to wear her hair down. There's a scene at the bachelorette party where she looks gorgeous because her hair's down. But there's other scenes where she's like has her hair up in a bun, and she looks like Yoda because her ears are so big and she's got these huge eyes. And just her face isn't made for a hair tied back. Kind of
style tips from Kevin Carr.
There you go. And listen to me because you're not listening to my dating tips because you're dating people who are embezzling money and crap like that. Uh-huh. Anywho, no, I walked out of this and I literally said this to the rep, and she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, you know, for a January release, this wasn't bad. And that's both complimentary and a dig too, because if this thing came out in the summer, it'd be awful. But I'm like watching it, and I'm like, you know, okay, I had problems with it, but I didn't find myself irritated with it. I didn't find myself bored with it, and I laughed at a lot of points. And a lot of times the laughs come from, which is not uncommon in a movie like this, comes from the supporting cast. All the other people, like Kristen Johnson is hilarious in this. She plays Anne Hathaway's character's sort of best friend outside of Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
And there are things that
she
are funny.
She was okay. And you know what? At first, she was really kind of an annoying character because she's just really playing up the, you know, she's kind of a, what would you call her?
I don't know. What would you call her? You've just
completely
derailed.
Kind of a dominated. She was kind of that friend that dominated the other friend that, you know, always suckered her into doing stuff she didn't want to do. And she really played it up.
Yeah,
really.
Well, and she only had like one scene, but then when they brought her back later in the movie, she's funnier. And
right.
And the other thing is, maybe. I think you will, if you've gone through the process of a wedding in any form, whether you've been a bride, whether you've been a groom, whether you've like been a family of a bride, or just had a good friend who's gone through this,
right?
You'll
or
see
if you're
all
like
this,
Kevin and you've always been a bridesmaid,
that's right. But the dress has always made me look fat, but you'll get the humor because there's certain things that you're just like that is absolutely true, and it's silly. So and I like the part where they really start, you know, going after each other and being mean to each other because I thought that was funny. Sort of like Four Christmases, the best parts were them being dysfunctional, and then when they tried to make it kind of nice and a Christmas holiday movie at the end, I'm like, nah, go back to the funny parts.
Yeah,
but. It's not perfect, but I'll tell you, it's a chick flick, and there's a lot of guys who are going to be dragged to this movie, and I'll tell you, there's worse stuff to be dragged to, like last year's Maid of Honor.
Well, yeah, and there's worse things that you could see than Anne Hathaway doing a booty dance.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that does happen in this movie. So,
like you doing a booty dance.
Yeah, so I'm giving it a kind of sucks. It didn't totally suck, but it was, you know, it was below average.
I'm actually going to give it a Kind of Rocks simply because of when it's coming out and sort of like for what you're going to get this time of year, I thought it was okay.
Okay.
Right. There we go.
You can introduce this next one since I didn't even know that what it was. We were talking about it.
I'm going to introduce it.
Yeah, it's all you, man.
All right, this is Not Easily Broken. Morris Chestnut tries really hard to make a Tyler Perry movie without Tyler Perry.
He was just one of the guys.
You got a beef with me? Let's do it. But don't kill your son's future because of it.
But he wanted to be something more.
Just look at you, and I just think that we could have some beautiful babies.
I have a career. Do you really think a baby is gonna fix our marriage?
I used to.
If you stopped spending so much time with those boys, you wouldn't be having this argument right now.
Here.
Now, you didn't even know this existed. I just had seen this on a slate, and they dropped a screening last minute on us during the week. I went and saw it, and now it's kind of unfair to say this because there's only three movies opening this week, and I've only seen two of them, but this is the worst movie of the year so far. It's a movie, Morris Chestnut, awesome. and I don't even know how to pronounce her name. It's the girl from Benjamin Button, his Queenie, his mom from Benjamin Button.
Oh, Taraji Henson.
Okay. And
I really like her. She's good stuff.
She's
good. Why didn't you tell me that she was in it before?
Well, because, I don't know, that's your job.
Taraji P. Henson's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, in this movie, they're basically, a couple have been married for about a dozen or so years, and they're kind of having problems. She's a career girl and she's trying to, you know, move on, and he's got a kind of a loser job, but he coaches this little league. They got like 9 million things happening in this story. They got this plot, and then she gets in an accident, and she has a physical therapist, and he likes her physical therapist, and this physical therapist has a son and all this stuff. It's sort of like if you ever saw the Ask a Ninja review of Pirates of the Caribbean at World End.
It's plot lines on top of plot lines on top of plot lines.
Every subplot gets its own subplot. Every extra who walks through the scene gets his own scene and backstory. And it's because it comes from a book. And they tried to... It was poorly adapted. They put way too much into it. And they didn't, you know, sort of distill it down. But it deals with all... It's and when I say it's like a Tyler Perry movie, it just has that feel where it's a cast almost completely of African Americans, which isn't a big deal, but that's, it rings of Tyler Perry. And it's dealing with all that sort of like interpersonal relationships, and it's sort of trying to be the relationship movie for the black audience, if that makes sense.
Kind of like that Chris Rock movie, I Think I Love My Wife.
No, you know what? It's very similar to that in the sense that like certain things just sort of like fix themselves.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, because if you saw I Think I Love My Wife at the end, they just kind of like go, well, wait, why don't we love each other? We do love each other. And you're like, wait, you didn't resolve anything. There was nothing that you just decided that you're going to be okay with each other. So next week you're going to hate each other again.
Right.
And it falls into that too. It's poorly written. And it does feel like, because Tyler Perry, even though I'm not a huge fan of Tyler Perry movies, he definitely has an audience, and he definitely knows how to make his kind of movie.
Yeah.
And it's like a bunch of people got together and like, well, we want to make this movie, but we don't want to have to pay Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna get this other guy who wrote this book, and we're gonna adapt this into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, things come out of nowhere. It is so poorly written. It's okay acted. But, I mean, Morris Chestnut, he's a total tool, and his wife's a total, you know, biatch. Can I say that on radio? And they just...
Sure.
And they're just, you have no sympathy for him. I mean, it's one of these things where I'm like, you know what, if they nuked L.A., I'd be okay with these characters just vaporizing.
Yeah.
So, there you go. It sucked.
Okay, it sucked. There you go. I was just going to let you finish. You know? Just let him go. It's, you know, it's a non-Tyler Perry movie.
It's a Tyler Perry movie. Who knows? It could be good.
There's an audience out there for all of these movies. They just kind of get slimmer and slimmer.
They may be small audiences.
Anyways, when we come back, more racism with Gran Torino.
What? No.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, Neil, even though we already talked about Bride Wars and Not Easily Broken and The Unborn, I do want to say one quick other thing about Bride Wars. And this is something that I didn't like about the movie.
Okay.
The characters were kind of dreadful people from the beginning. And this is where I see a lot of poorly written scripts where they're like, well, we got to have them change and become good by the end. Right. So they make them just awful people. They're totally shallow and materialistic. And it's sort of the movie falls into that myth of a girl's only dream is to have her wedding, and it's got to be like the most ridiculously huge wedding, and I need to be the princess,
and it has to be perfect, or she's going to kill someone.
Yeah, and it has to be about me. And they like, and the whole thing is they have the wedding at the Plaza Hotel in New York City, and you watch this thing, and this wedding had to have been $250,000,
right?
You know, for each wedding, because it's expensive anyways. It's expensive in Ohio to do a wedding like that. Go to New York, and it's twice as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this thing. It has to be the happiest day of my life, which I think is really funny, because by definition, saying that your wedding is to be your happiest day of your life, it's all downhill from there.
Right.
I'm like, I would hope that my wife, that our wedding wasn't the happiest day of her life, because there's a line from there's Something About Mary where they ask Chris Elliott how he's doing. He's like, oh, every day's better than the next. And it sounds like he's really complimenting, but he's really saying, no, it just gets worse.
That's funny. So yeah. Your point is that people shouldn't make their wedding day out to be the best day of their lives.
Fight the power. Don't fall into that trap. Because because all girls go completely nuts at their wedding, and all the girls, it's sort of like when people buy houses. You never hear somebody who's selling their house talking about how awesome it is to own a house, because they're trying to unload a house. You know, right. You always hear people talk about these realtors and mortgage brokers and people who are buying houses that think it's awesome. It's the people who own a house that's falling apart are like, oh, yeah, you don't want to own a house.
Yeah. True. So. True. Speaking of houses,
yes.
Our next film is called Gran Torino, and it stars Clint Eastwood as a man with a house and a lawn.
Yes.
And then
and people on his lawn.
Some shenanigans happen, and some foreigners get on his lawn. And then he says, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
You better watch your back.
Thank you.
Those guys were here the other night. What about them?
Just a gang.
And here's the deal. You stay away, because if I have to come back here again, it's going to be ugly.
I really like this movie. Well, there's a couple reasons why I really like this movie. One,
because you're a racist.
Clint Eastwood is a badass. Mm-hmm. And he is probably the most tastefully racist movie ever.
There is a certain part of it that it's just fun watching, because you're like, what's he going to say next?
Right.
You're just like, let's wait for the next complete inappropriate thing to say.
Yeah, and it's fantastic.
Like having lunch with my grandfather who passed away a couple years ago.
It's like watching a train wreck, only no one dies, I guess. I don't know. What's a fun train wreck?
I don't know.
The equivalent of a train wreck that's fun? The
character that he plays in this, I'm going to compare my grandfather, who I dearly loved, but he was of another generation, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And there's a joke that when I love my grandfather dearly, but what's
this is the third time you said that.
There's a joke that you say, how does every racial joke start?
Right.
And it's hard to tell on the radio, but what you do is then you look over your shoulder. That's how every racial joke start. We told that to my grandfather. Totally didn't get it.
Because he's from that generation that didn't have to look over their shoulder. They just told the joke.
Just told the joke.
And so Clint Eastwood, he plays Walt Kowalski, right?
That's yes.
He's an ex-Korean War veteran, and his neighborhood's been kind of overrun by...
Well, he is a Korean War veteran.
He is a Korean War veteran. Yeah. And his neighborhood has been invaded by Hmong people. Hmong is of Asian descent. And he's not too happy with that.
It's Cambodian, isn't it? It's sort of like that lost, lost culture from Cambodia.
Yeah. But, you know, in the end, he starts up a friendship with, what was the kid's name in the movie?
I have no idea.
Oh, man.
You put it on me. I don't remember.
Dude, you're supposed to remember this kind of stuff.
I didn't even remember his name was Walt. I just remember him as Clint Eastwood pointing guns at gang members.
His name is
Tao.
Tao. And you know, they start up kind of a friendship, and he teaches the kid about becoming a man and stuff like that.
Is he owned by a guy named Steve? Because that would be the Tao of Steve.
The Tao of Steve. No, he's not. But it's, you know what? For what it is, Clint Eastwood delivers an awesome, badass performance in this film. Mm. It's unintentionally funny, probably intentionally unintentionally funny. It's got some extremely hilarious moments in which Clint Eastwood is spouting off some racism.
Well, what's great about that is it reminds me of Million Dollar Baby, mm-hmm. where it's known as a drama, but there are some funny, funny moments in it. And I would never classify it as a comedy, but the best moments are like in Million Dollar Baby, where he has just back and forth talking with Morgan Freeman. They say things to each other that you're just like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, you know, there's that. And I thought, I mean, it's a very one-dimensional film because it just feels like it's all kind of,
we've seen all this before, haven't we?
Right. We've seen all this before, and it's all based on Clint Eastwood's performance, and his performance is great. Overall, the movie, the rest of the story is very, I would call it familiar/uninventive.
Would you call his performance a humongous performance?
No.
Oh. I thought you'd laugh at that. That was a great pun. I just came up with it on the fly. That's nice. Why you keep me around. I mean, that's
right, because you're quick with the puns.
I'm a genius.
So, but you know what? I think that if you're a fan of Clint Eastwood, which I think every man is required to be, you should go out and see this, because it's Eastwood at his most badass at age, what, 72? Isn't he 72?
Yeah. Well, and there's talk that this is going to be his last big sort of starring role.
Right.
He's just going to direct people like Angelina Jolie for the rest of his life.
Which, you know what? I thought Gran Torino was way better than The Changeling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it still had its own Oscar clips, the whole get off my lawn. Mm-hmm. But it fit
with the rest of the movie.
Well, it wasn't Angelina Jolie literally acting her guts out, or after the scene, you look there and there's her guts on the floor. And you're like, right. Can you put those back in, please?
Right.
You're skinny enough already.
Yep. So, yeah, there you go. All right, I'm giving that a totally rocks. I think Gran Torino is a totally rocks type of movie.
I'm going to give it a rocks.
All right.
It was just basically the same grade. It's just you like decided to be like, it's totally awesomely rocks.
I like to add hyperbole to my grades.
Yeah.
So moving on, box office time. Time to talk about what happened at the Christmas box office, right?
Yes. It went to the dogs.
It went, oh, that's so lame. Marley and Me continue to dominate with...
lots of money. Can
lots
I
money.
Rant
another 24
real quick
million
here?
Over the January 2nd through 4th weekend?
I want to just make a declaration.
Declare
nobody
away.
Nobody saw Marley and Me because Jennifer Aniston was in it. I hate to tell you that, Hollywood. People went to go see it first of all because it's a cute dog. Second of all because Owen Wilson is in it, and then maybe Jennifer Aniston's mom was like, "Oh hey, she's in a movie. Maybe we should go check it out."
Yeah, I did notice that there were a lot of reports that were kind of targeting Jennifer Aniston as the reason why that movie is doing well. And yeah. You know what? Jennifer Aniston is no more reason than the fact that it's a immensely popular book.
More people went to go see it because Alan Arkin was in it than Jennifer Aniston.
It's an incredibly accessible movie, being, you know, just kind of a family dog movie.
Yeah.
And so there. And the fact that I believe that our recommendation of this movie before the holidays was almost as impactful as Jennifer Aniston being in the movie.
I would say more so.
More so, yeah, because we're influential. We have more star power than Jennifer Aniston at this point. Although, no one's putting you on the cover of a magazine naked.
Yet. Well, yet. Now, I'm going to do a spread with Katie Morgan in a little bit, I'm sure.
Nice.
But no, I would say, you know, I did... We have so much influence. I have heard we've been called the most influential voices in film.
Ever.
You remember that? That's been said before.
Yep.
But yeah, that did well. The big news was also Valkyrie did better than expected. What's so stupid about this is it's like it's not a hit.
Yeah.
It's not going to make $200 million. It's going to be lucky if it even comes close to north of like $60 million to reach close to $100 million. It's not even going to come close to that. But it's just like it wasn't an absolute disaster, so they're calling it a success. Hollywood right. is so silly.
Right. It wasn't as bad as we thought it would be.
Yeah.
So, but moving on to this weekend, it's really the question this weekend is whether or not Marley and Me will be defeated. And I think Bride Wars will probably defeat it. Just
I think it has a good shot of
based on attrition and the fact that Marley and Me's been out so long, and you know what, Anne Hathaway and Kate Hudson, they're a draw, I guess, on their own.
Well, and Marley and Me made like $50 million its first weekend, then it went about, it lost 50% to $25 million, and it was all through the holidays, so if you had your chance to see it, I don't think it's going to compete with Bride Wars, but I think Bride Wars is going to have a hard time beating Gran Torino.
Gran Torino, I have a feeling Gran Torino is going to be the surprise into the top five with its wide release, because a lot of people are talking about that movie.
Oh, easy.
So, but I think The Unborn probably won't even get into the top five, sadly. It'll be like six,
it has
seven.
It has a shot. I think because there's nothing else really. I mean, I don't. Not Easily Broken. I don't even think that's going to approach the top 10.
Yeah. And then last time we said that, it'll finish number one. Based on
I didn't say that. I never said that. I will eat a cabbage, an entire cabbage, in the next episode, if.
Not Easily Broken finishes number one?
If it finishes number one. Wow. I will eat an entire cabbage.
Okay. Cool.
I hope to God it doesn't do it now.
Yeah, exactly.
And my family hopes to God it doesn't happen either, because no one wants to be in the house with me after even eating an entire cabbage.
Nice.
Well, should we do a real quick talk about the top 10 our picks of the best of the year?
Yeah. We got a little time left. We can kind of name off our favorite movies of the year.
Yes.
Let's do top fives. We'll do a Fat Guy Five.
Okay.
What were your top five?
Well, I'll tell you what. The Dark. We haven't ranked these yet. We're just throwing this together. So obviously, The Dark Knight, I'm sure, was on both of our lists.
Yeah.
So The Dark Knight's got to be in there. And WALL-E for me was my number one.
Well, what was your top five in order? Like just personal.
Number one was WALL-E. Mm-hmm. Then The Dark Knight. Then I did Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I'm gonna get some poop for that, but you know.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was 9 when Raiders came out. Then Dear Zachary was number 4.
Yeah.
And heart-wrenching movie. And then The Spiderwick Chronicles was number 5.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, mine similar but different. I had number 5 WALL-E. Number 4 was The Wackness, because awesome movie. No, number 3 is The Dark Knight, for obvious reasons, I think. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is Slumdog Millionaire. Okay. I absolutely loved. Very infectious movie. Yes. Number one was Man on Wire, which was an awesome, awesome documentary.
Yeah. I'm surprised that was number one. See, my award films, Reader, Slumdog Millionaire, and Milk, all were in there as well, but they were in the top 10.
Yeah. No, Man on Wire was best movie of the year for me. So there you go. Cool. When we come back, we'll wrap you up and stuff.
Cool.
And we're back. We're wrapping you up here in Fat Guys of the Movies. Time to, finish off another episode. We're on episode 98.
Yeah, and which means I pointed out to you earlier, you're going to be in Sundance, the Sundance Film
Festival.
For
episode 100, I know. For the big one.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's unfortunate. And that is true. I'll be off for the next 2 weeks. I'll be in Park City for Sundance. So if you're one of our, faithful listeners and you're in Sundance, keep an eye out for a group of geeky, chubby dudes. That would be myself and Peter Serretta from SlashFilm.com and a few other movie bloggers. And come on up and say hi. The nice thing about Sundance is everybody's got their name tag. Like, their badge has their name on it.
Yeah.
So mine says Neil Miller, Film School Reject. So if you see me and you're hot, don't be afraid to make out with me.
Yeah. So. John Stamos, did you hear that?
John Stamos, I'm looking at you, obviously.
Well, you know what? Does really saying look for the chubby, geeky looking guys
that's not really
at a film festival.
But I'm on the picture on the website. So if you go to fatguysmovies.com, you'll see what I look like, and then you can look for me, although I have a much beardier appearance at this point.
He looks like a terrorist.
But I carry, if you're like walking in a crowd and you see somebody with a film school rejects button on their backpack, yeah. there can't be more than one of those.
We gave out a lot at the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But it'd be like saying, oh, I'm Comic-Con, I'm going to be the chubby guy with the beard and the superhero t-shirt. Come find me.
Right. So, I don't know, if we meet at Sundance, so, you know, say hi.
And if you see him on a bus, ask him if he, you know, if you really were, what is that, somebody like,
if I ask me if I live in my mom's basement, which at this point wouldn't be far off.
Well, you, at least at Sundance, you are living in a condo.
Right. Right. But yeah, someone from Entertainment Weekly asked me last year if as a movie blogger, I lived in my mom's basement.
Was she hot?
She was good looking, but I almost punched her in the face. Wow. She was almost not good looking, thanks to me.
That would be awesome.
So, moving on, time for the DVD roundup. And we'll start with Kevin's picks.
Yes.
Which, I'm going to agree with you on your first pick.
Yes, my first pick, Pulse 3. No.
you switched them up on me.
Zing! No, my we first pick you. Is Battlestar Galactica 4.0.
Can't wait for that to come back.
Yeah, simply because it's one of the best shows on television. It's awesome. It's the first half of the season, which I don't necessarily support, but it all got derailed with the writer's strike and everything like that. They're coming back, what is it, January 16th is when they're...
Next week or something.
Yeah, they're starting new shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. This movie is... this TV show is incredible. Go check it out. Yeah. Do not start with season 4. You got to go back to the beginning. You will be
That would
so
be like starting in the middle of Lost.
Yeah.
You'd be just gone.
Yeah. I mean, like you can even like 24, you can kind of stop in at like hour 18 and sort of pick up what's going on.
Right.
No way. Like Lost, Battlestar Galactica, you got to be there from the beginning.
Yeah, I was trying to explain BSG to my mom the other day, and it wasn't happening.
Yeah,
I couldn't even explain what it was about.
I was watching it once, and my wife comes in the room. She's like, "What that? Well, she's a Cylon, and that person's this, and he killed that person, and she's dead, and blah, blah, blah." And they come in, and they go, "Well, wait, didn't she? Wasn't she on the other ship?" "Well, yeah, she's another Cylon, but she doesn't know she's a Cylon." And blah.
Right, exactly.
And it was just like, wow.
Terrible.
So, but the other one, Pulse 3, I have to give a little shout out to that simply because I got that one late. But I like horror directed DVD movies. I mean, it's based on it's a sequel to Pulse, which was sort of a dud of a movie, but at least it's not zombies.
It's the second sequel to Pulse.
It's the second sequel.
Let's not beat around the bush here. Yeah. There was a Pulse 2, which I don't even think anyone knows about. Pulse 3,
I have a certain good place love. To start. See, I have a certain love for going to the video store and just going through the horror movie aisles and just grabbing some random nothing movie and watching it. And it's not that great, but it's still kind of,
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. It has Ryder Strong in it.
Fair enough.
From Boy Meets World.
My picks are one of the most beloved geek properties ever. Serenity came out on Blu-ray. It was an excellent. Not only is
it's an excellent
like
piece
Serenity.
Of garbage.
I love Serenity as a movie, as Ugh. You know, for the campy space opera that it is. But it was a really good Blu-ray release. If you're really into Blu-ray.
Mm.
It's got a lot of cool special features and stuff like that. Yeah. So, and also Pineapple Express, because I think everybody should have Pineapple Express in their life.
You mean the movie or the drug?
Both. So, and I think you should smoke some Pineapple Express while you watch Pineapple Express.
It has nothing to do with SpongeBob SquarePants. It is not the pineapple he lives in under the sea.
No, it's not. So there you go. What's our stinker of the week?
A disaster movie, which made it in my top 10 worst movies of the year. It is the most appropriately named movie of 2008.
Ever.
Yes, it was a disaster. Hopefully it is the spoof movie to end all spoof movies, although they're having like Dance Flick coming out and Extreme Movie, but maybe these two yahoos, Adam Freeberg and Jason Stelzer, or did I get their names mixed up, whatever it is, the two of the six writers.
Yeah, Freeberg and Stelzer.
They need to be shot in the head.
Okay.
I'm wishing cancer upon them.
Nice. It's a nice touch for the end of the show.
It's past the holidays. I don't have to be cheery.
Cool. Review wrap-up time. We'll start with Bride Wars, which I said kind of sucked.
Kind of rocks for what it is.
Yeah. Not Easily Broken, which Kevin saw and said...
Sucks. Worst movie of the year so far.
The Unborn, which neither one of us saw, so it gets a preemptive suck on principle. And Gran Torino, which totally rocked.
Gran Torino rocked. And then we didn't talk about The Reader, but The Reader
We didn't
rocked.
Talk about The Reader, but you know, that one was good too.
Totally rocked. Totally rocked.
So next week we're going to review, Kevin and his soon-to-be-named special guest will review Notorious, My Bloody Valentine, 3D, Hotel for Dogs, Paul Blart, Mall Cop, and a few other random award films that we decide to pick. So I will see you in 2 weeks. If you'd like to get a hold of us, hit us over at fatguysinthemovies.com. Give us a call. Email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. And otherwise, don't eat yellow snow.
Word to your mother. Sing!
Get off my lawn.